Welcome to Mysteries to Die For and this toe tag. I am T.G. Wolf, and I'm here with Jack, my piano player and producer. This is normally a podcast where we combine storytelling with original music to put you at the heart of a mystery. But today is a bonus episode that, as you all know, we call a toe tag. It's the first chapter from a fresh release in the mystery, crime, or thriller genre. Today's featured release is One Dead, Two to Go by Alina Hartwell. All right, let's jump right into chapter one. Call me Eddie Shoes. Not a very feminine moniker, but it suits me. My father's name was Eduardo Zapata. In a fit of nostalgia, my mother, Chava, named me Edwina Zapata Schultz, even though at the time I was born she hadn't seen my father in 7 months. Edwina was a mouthful to saddle any child with, so at the ripe old age of 6, I announced that I would only answer to Eddie. I didn't have any nostalgia for the guy I'd never met, so Zapata just seemed like a name that no one ever spelled right the first time. Chava wasn't particularly maternal in any conventional sense, so not a lot of nostalgia for Schultz either. At 18, I legally changed my name to Eddie Shoes. It said a lot about my sense of humor. Chava and I had come to an understanding. She stayed in my life as long as our contact was minimal and primarily over email. It was just enough to allay her guilt and not enough to make me crazy, so it worked for both of us. She'd always been down about my choice of career, but what did she expect from a girl who called herself Eddie Shoes? If I hadn't become a private investigator, I probably would have been a bookie, so she should have been a little more positive about the whole thing. My career was the reason I was hunkered down in my car, in the dark, halfway down the block from a tacky hotel, clutching a digital camera and zoom lenses, waiting to catch my latest client's husband with a woman that was not his wife. I'd already gotten a few choice shots of the guy entering the room, but as he'd gone in alone and no one else arrived, I assumed the other woman was already waiting for him. After tailing the guy for a few days, I had a pretty good guess who the chippy would turn out to be. I didn't think he hired his office manager for her filing skills, and sleeping with the married boss was a cliche because it happened all the time. I could already prove the man was a liar. He told his wife he played poker with the boys on Wednesday nights, and I didn't think he was shacked up in this dive with three of his closest buddies, unless he was kinkier than I imagined. But then, people never cease to amaze me. December in Bellingham, Washington, often brought cold, clear weather, and that night was no exception. Starting the engine to warm up sounded tempting, but I didn't want anyone to notice me sitting there. Nice it wasn't raining, but if the thermometer crept much over 20, well, I hadn't noticed. To make matters worse, I scrunched my almost 6-foot frame down in the driver's seat for more than 2 hours. Even with a blanket wrapped around my shoulders, I was half frozen and desperately hoped my Mark didn't have more stamina than I pegged him for. All I wanted was to go home and go to bed. And at some point, I would need to pee. Up on the second floor, the door of the hotel room I had my eye on finally opened. I brought my camera up, ready for the money shots. My earlier pics proved that the dirty white stucco on the side of the building bounced the pale glow from the minimal exterior lights enough for pictures to be clear without a flash. Even from this distance, there was a nice unobstructed view of the location. The only barrier between someone standing on the narrow walk and my camera lens was a flimsy, rusty-looking wrought iron railing. The balusters looked too thin to stop anyone from falling the height of the first floor to the asphalt parking lot below. I doubted anything at the tawdry place passed code. But what did I care? I wasn't going to stay there. The liar, I've always been creative with nicknames, stepped out, straightening his tie. I snapped a few pictures and held my breath, hoping the other woman would come out behind him. Even if I took pictures of her exiting a few minutes later, the husband needed to be in the picture with her. A surprisingly number of wives would argue with me about what actually took place in these various, if interchangeable, hotel rooms. For some reason, they would rather believe the info about their husband cheating was fake than admit he strayed, which confused me because I got paid either way. It felt especially crazy when they must already know the truth, otherwise they wouldn't have hired me in the first place. But I knew better than to look for logic in the ways of the human heart and got the best evidence possible. The man turned sideways. The light from the room behind him threw his face into silhouette. He had an exceptionally generous head of hair, which made him very recognizable even in bad light. Mid-40s and in mostly good shape, he appeared athletic as long as he didn't unbutton his sports coat. I could see why women were attracted to him, though he didn't do a thing for me. I preferred men a little more honest. But then, I'd never been married, so what did I know? A figure moved behind him in the shadow of the doorway. "Come on, honey, step out into the light." I held the camera to my eye. "One more step so I can see your face." The woman obliged by leaning into the cold blue glow cast by the old-style, energy-inefficient streetlights. Her cheeks stained red in the flash of the vacancy sign. I happily clicked away as the office manager wrapped her arms around his neck and whispered sweet nothings in his ear. She clearly wore nothing but lingerie. She must assume no one else would be out this late on such a cold weeknight. Or maybe she enjoyed having people see her, a bit of an exhibitionist in the happy homewrecker. Whatever the cause, she had him in the perfect spot for the best pictures. I loved it when guilty people made my job easy. My photos might not be art, but they were gold in my book. No way the wife would believe there was anything other than what it looked like. Several photos later, the husband extricated himself from the mistress and she ducked back into the room and closed the door. He walked briskly toward a shiny red Chevy Camaro. The guy owned a GM dealership and drove a new car every day. He lit a cigarette, which he puffed on for a few drags before he tossed it into the gutter. Not just a cheater, a litterer, the bastard. The cigarette stench backed his poker party story and covered the smell of another woman, killing two birds with one cancer-causing stone. As soon as he pulled out into the street, I stretched back up to my full height, relieved to still feel my feet. I started up my ancient green Subaru Forester, cranked my heater, and headed for home, relieved I didn't have to wait around in the cold for the mistress to reappear. Whatever she did next wasn't my concern. Having the two of them in the pictures together convinced me my work was done. The hotel was located downtown, the blue-collar north end, not the high-priced brick historic south end, so I dropped down to Lakeway Drive, scooted under the freeway, and wound through the streets that curved around Bayview Cemetery. Traffic at 10 o'clock on a midweek winter night was light, and I arrived at my little house by 10:30. I downloaded the photos from the hotel onto my computer, wrote up the final bill for my client, and went to bed. What could possibly go wrong with such an easy case? All right, that was the first chapter of One Dead, Two to Go. As you probably guessed, this is a PI mystery. Eddie Shu's latest client is the worst. She lies, she cheats, and now, just after the body of her husband's mistress is found, she's gone missing. Eddie has to go find her. It's the only way she's gonna get paid. Bottom line, One Dead, Two to Go is for you if you like comedic PI mysteries where good sleuthing goes toe-to-toe with bad luck. All right, so what are the strengths of this story? The storytelling style is the first thing I noticed. It's fun, kind of free-form and fast-paced. It reminded me a lot of Janet Ivanovich's Stephanie Plum. Hartwell's Eddie Shoes is serious about her work, and she kind of has to be because she's managing a lot of chaos around her. Eddie Shoes, which I just love the name. I love corny, funny, punny names like that, and so, yeah, I'm an Eddie Shoes fan. Eddie Shoes was born Edwina Zapata Schultz, as you heard, and she's the daughter of a card shark and a mafioso. She's a woman who uses her brain to make a living as a PI, so she isn't a fighter. You know, she isn't like the female version of Reacher. She's much more the intellectual type, but she's super tenacious, and she's willing to go where good sense says, yeah, no, let's not. She is a well-developed character, and she was easy to like and easy to cheer for. Eddie's mother drops in for an uninvited and extended visit and decides to help out. So Chava is different from most mother characters, especially in mysteries. She was only 16 when Eddie was born, so this mama is only in her mid-40s. So if you think about that, a lot of times these mother or father characters will sort of be portrayed more in their, I guess, 60s or up, you know, somewhat elderly. Chava is not. She is sort of in the prime of her life right there next to her daughter, so definitely a little different relationship. She is a sleight of hand pro in addition to a card player and has the same tenacity as her daughter. So Chava becomes Eddie's ad hoc assistant and brings her own skill set and her own connections to the case. I didn't see it coming that Chava, at least in the story, was going to be her sidekick-ish, and it really was a fun pairing. Besides the tension you had between the two, which didn't stay, I will say that it matured nicely. Chava was a cool sidekick character with her sort of casino connections and some of her other experiences that went above and beyond what Eddie had. She was a nice compliment. The story does have murder, as I kind of gave away the mistress that you just saw kissing the quote liar. She dies in chapter two. I don't call that spoiling it because, well, there's like 30 chapters and that's chapter two. So the story does have murder, but this plot is focused on the disappearance of Eddie's client, and that's Kendra Hollings. So between a cheating husband and a mystery man, it seems all but certain that Kendra was kidnapped. Before Eddie can piece the pieces together, she has to find them. Kendra's life isn't what she painted it to be. Her husband isn't who he thought he was, and then there's the mystery man again. So even for, quote, a straightforward kidnapping story, this isn't straightforward. It is very well crafted. I am very much a fan of this. So where did the story fall short of ideal? You know, with comedic style stories, it's often hard to check all the boxes because usually some part of the logic is sacrificed for the sake of being funny. But that's not the case here. This one really does check all the boxes. The bones of the kidnapping mystery are strong, with the actions of the parties being consistent with their motivations. And I'm going to kind of emphasize that part because there was something later in the end where I was like, does that really make sense? And I was like, well, you know what? From that character's point of view, it does. To us, you know, professional readers and mystery solvers, we're like, why would you do that? But if you put your mind into the mindset of the character, you're like, okay, yeah, I can see that. I thought about the end for several days, seeing if each thread stood up, and they really did. The story delighted me from beginning to end. So you also know it's very important to me that our heroes drive their plots, and Eddie did the job of driving her plot, and in doing so, she forced the bad guys to act. So that's great, right? She acts, the bad guys react, sometimes not the way she necessarily wanted, but you know, you don't get to control that part. And so it was this nice dichotomy and back and forth that moved it along. I say that Eddie is the driver because at any time she could have stopped looking for Kendra and the story just would have ended. It only perpetuated because Eddie didn't give up. And with the help of Chava, the two together pushed the story to a very satisfying end. I will sort of add a personal note. I read this book while I was having a particularly rough week at work, and I found that I would come home and really want to know what was going on in Eddie's world. And so I pretty much whizzed through this book. It was a great bit of escapism for me personally, and it's entertaining to read. One Dead and Two to Go was released in 2003 from Open Road Media Mystery and Thriller and is promoted by Partners in Crime Tours. It's available from Amazon and other booksellers. The next two books in the series, Two Heads Are Deader Than One and Three Strikes You're Dead, are also available. So I've already got two heads are deader than one on my Kindle and waiting for next time I have a few minutes to venture down Eddie's rabbit hole. So let's learn a little bit about our author, Elena Hartwell. So Elena Hartwell spent several years working in the theater as a playwright, director, designer, and educator before turning her storytelling skills to fiction. Elena is also a senior editor with Allegory Editing, a developmental editing house where she works one-on-one with writers to shape and polish manuscripts. Her favorite place to be is Paradise, the property she and her husband own outside of Spokane, Washington. Elena also has a couple other series of books out under a pen name, so make sure that you're looking for her both on her website and all over Amazon. Partners in Crime Tours represents a network of 300 plus bloggers, offering tailor-made virtual book tours and marketing options for crime, mystery, and thriller writers from around the world. Founded in 2011, PICT offers virtual book tour services for well-established and best-selling authors, as well as those of us just starting out our careers. PICT prides itself on tailored packages for authors, as well as a personal touch from tour coordinators. For more information, check out their website, partnersincrimetours.com. And then join us back here next week for the next edition in Season 7, Games People Play. Looking forward to sharing brand new stories with you all. With that, Jack, I'll turn it over to you to take us out.